You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Why We Watch, the show for fans, by fans, about fans. I am Mags and today is the first of a kind of like a retrospective show I'm tentatively calling Why We Still Watch. I'm going to be revisiting some past guests and friends and find out how their wrestling life and how their content creation has gone in the time since we first spoke. And the first person to have on would obviously be, it would be very apt if it was the first guest that we had on Why We Watch all the way back 7 months ago. Well, 7 months at the time of recording. When this is released, it'll be 8 months ago. Wow, I did not think this show would last that long. Why We Watch is proud to be working with powerslam.tv. You can use our code MAGS to get yourself a 30-day free trial and watch up to 4,000 hours of quality independent wrestling content. Just make sure you sign up with your laptop for the code to work, and then after that you can download the Android app or the App Store app and watch this amazing content from powerslam.tv.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
I'm obviously talking to my very, very, very good friend, one of only two people on wrestling Twitter to actually have my own phone number. I'm talking to Matt Willis. Matt, how are you today, my good friend?
I am very well, thank you, Mags. It does beg the question, who's the other person? But I'm not actually going to ask you to reveal it on the air.
I'm more than willing. It's my Badlands co-host, Mr. Paul Talley.
That's good. I have Talley's number as well, so fair enough.
So, Matt, like I said, you were on the show 7 months ago. Wow.
I was the guinea pig, yes.
Yeah, amazing. Listening back to the earlier shows to kind of get a feel of how we were back then, and wow, it's definitely come on. It's definitely improved, I would say. Obviously, everyone thinks their first like material is absolute gash, and that material was absolute gash.
I don't think so. I thought you had a great show to start with as well. I personally feel that your first show is where you are the most honest and true. I'm talking to someone who's got 98 podcasts, so what do I know?
We'll definitely be getting into that. I appreciate that those kind words. But when I know from my point of view, when I was listening to it, and I could almost sense it was like a by-the-book kind of interview where it was, there was no deviation from the script we'd come up with, and it were almost robotic, where I think now I kind of got like the hang of free flowing. But I don't give myself too much grief about it, because it was my first dive into podcasting really. I think I've done all right since, I suppose. I've spread my wings into other podcasts.
I'm going to say, you're catching me up soon, Matt. Sorry, like, Matt,
sorry, you go. I think you'll always have that 10-podcast gap on me. For the benefit of the listeners, Matt is swearing right now. So, yeah, you were interviewed by the old tag team, my old tag team partner, Mark. Shout out to at New Handle Who. This, yeah, I really miss that guy. I just hope he gets to be able to come back. He obviously left because he had family issues. Yeah, shout out to Mark. So, what has happened in the world of Matt Willis in regards of being a wrestling fan since then? I know you've had a big event. Just let the listeners know what was the big event that happened.
Small event called WrestleMania 35. WrestleMania weekend in New Jersey. Wow. So many different, so much to talk about that. There's so many different little bits and pieces, which I'm sure we'll get into. But it was fascinating going to America for the first time.
So, just let us in on, obviously, a lot of our listeners are from the US, so going to WrestleMania is probably not as big a deal as it is as it would be for someone like us. I mean, it's a humongous event. It's costing multi-thousands and thousands of pounds, or thousands and thousands of dollars if you're American. So let's start at the beginning. When did you have the idea that this was going to be the year that you went to WrestleMania?
This all started to come around purely as a joke. Last year, when the Bagshaw family visited me in Clacton, and me and Graham just casually mentioned it, wouldn't it be awesome if one day we could go to WrestleMania together? It was an off-the-cuff remark, off-the-cuff joke. And then as the year started going on, we started good cop, bad cop and everything, and it got to, like, September, and we were like, why don't we? So, we did.
That's fair,
yeah,
absolutely.
So we did. I spent more on flights than in a long time. I've never spent much money on anything in one go before. Ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, it was insane amount of money, but I tell you what, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
WrestleMania, I think it wasn't just WrestleMania 35. It was also the G1 at Madison Square Garden. It was three events at White Eagle Hall, including Shikara. And I got to fist bump Orange Cassidy. Not many people can say they've done that. especially now he's in AEW. He won't be giving many fist bumps, giving him out as many as now. So...
So... Let's go through what happened. So you get to America. What did you do on your first day in the States in your WrestleMania weekend?
Right. Well, first of all, before I talk about how I landed, first of all, I was delayed for 2 hours at Heathrow before I flew out, which was annoying. I didn't sleep the entire journey over. Bearing in mind, I woke up at 5 a.m. in the morning, UK time. Landed in America about 9 o'clock Eastern time, which would be about 2 a.m. UK. So wow. Yeah, Maggie's eyes right now on out on stalks.
21 hours.
And that didn't sleep the whole time. Couldn't sleep at all, and then got through passport control. That's a 3 hour wait, and then get through, put your bag up. There's this 6'3" tall former Englishman there waiting for me who gets tackle hugged. And then we listen to View from the Top Rope on the way back to, on the way to New Jersey. But we actually crashed overnight in Maryland. So I crashed, and that was about 1:30, 2 a.m. in the morning we got there. So that would have been about 6 a.m. UK time. So we're talking, I was awake for 26 hours on my first day in the States, shall we say. And then we were up at 8 a.m., up at 6, 7, and breakfast, and then off to New Jersey we went. And, yeah, we documented some of what we did on that one, which included getting me getting McDonald's breakfast mixed up. I got muffins and biscuits mixed up. My own fault. It tasted fine though. But then, yeah, see my first ever ladder match at Chicago. That was insane.
Wow.
That was on the first day.
So go on, tell us about the Chicago show.
A PG event. And they said from the start, it's completely PG. And they said that from the start. So when people started laying into each other with like stuff, instead of saying, holy... Can I swear, Max?
You can swear all you like.
Okay. Instead of saying, holy shit, they were saying, holy poop, holy poop. It's little things like that.
Yeah.
But they really paid attention to it. And they did a perfect PG show. And the main event was a ladder match. I've never seen a ladder match live before, ever. Of course, we realised there was a ladder match beforehand because we were in the balcony for the first one. We had seats all over the place, depending for the events. And we were sitting up there, and I'm there sipping my cider, having not tipped well. And Graham points out to me that there's a championship belt hanging above the ring. Now,
the penny dropped.
Yeah, but this is before the show even started. It was up for two hours.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were in there about a good hour before the match started. So 3 or 4 hours beforehand, it was great. Really well done. So it was great. It was great. The biggest takeaway I have from Chicago was taking what Graham said about tipping into my head. 10%, that's what they say. So I got in my head, $10 paid for a cider and some snacks. So I tipped $1. I got in my head that $1 what you tip regardless.
Wow. So you spent when you were spending like $30, you still tipped $1. I bet you would look like a right cheapskate.
To be fair, I don't tip in the UK.
Yeah, it's not a custom that we usually do here.
No, it's not a widely done thing, no. But Chicago was great and would love to watch some more if I get a chance. We'll see some more live, definitely.
Yeah.
I
like the colony in Chicago, like the Fire Ant, Thief Ant.
Oh, they were great. Yeah. They were great. They really were.
And Green Ant, yeah, I really love them. Really entertaining. So, what was next on Matt's WrestleMania agenda?
Right, well, after that, we went... Between Chikara and Black Label Pro, because Black Label Pro was literally starting at 3. Mm-hmm. Chikara started at 12, Black Label started at 3. Because Joey Janela's spring break was in the evening, we didn't have tickets for that one. So we thought, well, go give him to eat and get back quickly. We went up had a blimpies. I got mayonnaise sauce all over my face, which most people know from the Good Cop, Bad Cop diary. Graham thought that I looked like Heath Ledger, but called me Heath Slater. but called me Heath Slater instead. So yeah, he will not be living that one down. But also, back then my Achilles was still not great, and my calves were cramping up like crazy walking up a hill, so I was limping a bit. So I was grateful to sit down on the stage for Black Label Pro, which was again fantastic. I got to see Hornswoggle with Nick Gage.
Wow. Nick Gage, you literally just lost to Killer Cross at Bloodsport.
Nick Gage was insane. Well, we know that, yeah. But yeah, but it was crazy because Swoggle was everywhere over WrestleMania weekend, and I didn't think I'd get a chance to watch him live. My nephew Ben asked me if I could get him to autograph a set of a box of Lucky Charms. I'm like. Well, Ben's Irish himself, so you know he's like.
I don't think Swoggle is actually Irish, though.
No, but he's not. I think he's from Minnesota or something like that.
Wisconsin, I think.
Wisconsin, Minnesota. It's all the same. I don't do geography, so. But in any case, he's the sort of guy who's you'd like to see. But the biggest takeaway from the whole of it. Jordynne Grace.
Yeah, superstar. Absolute superstar.
Not only that, but you could tell that she's a fan as well. Because after she had her match, she was involved in a multi-person tag match and got the win. from what I can remember anyway, had a lot of cider since then. But she, after the match, she, about 3 matches later, she came and sat on the stage, the row in front of me and Graham.
Really? Wow.
I could literally reach out and touch her if I wanted to. That's how close I was to her. She was watching the Gresham's match, yeah, obviously, because they're married, of course. And when Gresham went head first, literally straight down, because he botched his dive, she jumped up so quickly. I was like, yeah, don't blame you. But I also said to Graham, should I ask her for an interview? And he said, don't you fucking dare.
Whilst her fella is down on the floor, potentially injured, you know.
No. Not at that point. It wasn't at that point.
You left it a minute.
I left a while before. Yeah, it was fine. She was calm. And like, should I ask her children if you're like, don't you fucking dare. Don't you disturb her. She's busy. Like, in fact, she was. And it was insane because I think every single one we went to was being live streamed on some service or other, which was amazing because at every point there's commentary going at White Eagle Hall. They had the commentary team on the stage behind us and we could hear it the whole time. And they had different colour commentators the whole time, which is understandable. People mixing in for different things, filling in the roles. Mm-hmm. But for Black Label, I can't be for that because I don't know for certain, but for Black Label, female lead commentator, fairly approve of that. I really approved of that. Great.
So then after an amazing time at Shikara and Black Label, how did you round off the first day?
Well, bearing in mind, I've sent you the video of this one, Meg, so I think I know. We went to a hotel, which was great. And as we were checking into our room, I might share the video on Twitter at some point. I might share it publicly, but I don't know. Yeah, we're checking into our room and Graham's laughing his head off and I'm asking what's so funny, and there's a bell outside the door which says press for handicaps, and I'm like, cheers, Graham. And add context for that is because on the drive from that label to the hotel, Graham, I started whinging, as Graham put it, because I was asking why we need a handicap pass for MetLife, because I can't walk because my legs are hurting too much.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant.
Yeah. It was interesting, but you know, I forgive him for that. It's fine.
That it's just the banter between pals.
It was.
So then, day two of your WrestleMania journey.
So day two of WrestleMania weekend was meant to be Nova Pro. And obviously Nova Pro folded, of course. Mm-hmm. But GCW picked it up, picked a slot up. And GCW presented Orange Cassidy is doing something or whatever. Arguably the most clusterfuck of a show I have ever watched, either live or on a streaming service ever, and I'll go to the hill with that one. There is no one like Orange Cassidy in this business at the moment. He wandered out to the ring and he's like, "Who wants to throw someone should ring announce then?" And I put my hand up because I'm like, "I'll do it." But obviously it was a plant in the crowd for it. And I can't remember the guy in question. I can't remember his name. But he was amazing in itself. And Orange pulls out, I got the card for you. And just hands him a crumpled up tissue. It's brilliant. But he had things like a tribute to Nova Pro dodgeball match. And that was great. Jordan Grace wasn't involved in that one because I didn't think she wanted me to do no prep at the time. They had the Swamp Monster Fatal 4-Way Elimination match, which had which Alley Cat was in, and Paige's mum, I keep forgetting her name.
Soraya.
Yeah. And Chris Statlander was in it as well. Not as much as I wanted to in that match, unfortunately, but some great wrestling from all of them. and Swamp Monsters were hilarious to see. Swamp Monsters!
Yeah.
Nothing to do with it at all.
It's the fun of wrestling, though, isn't it? It doesn't have to make sense.
No, that's the thing. You see, wrestling sits in its own universe, and you exist within that universe. And it was great. And say, Orange Cassidy with fist bumps around the ring when he came in and out. And it's just, it's a record. It was the most, it's like this most limp fist bump you've ever had in your life. But he lives and breathes that character. He really does.
Yeah.
And then a best, oh, can I get this right? A 7 out of 13 falls match.
Oh, wow.
With Logan Ethan Leroux, who he lost, but you know, I mean, you've been to wrestling matches before yourself, and yep, you'll be shouted out like, 1, 2, ooh, for kick out.
Obviously.
I've never heard, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Seriously, roll up, after counter, and it ended up going from being 2-1 to being 6-all in like a minute. It was fantastic. It was hilarious. It was a great, great show, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And Nick Gage, again, in a death match. But this one was a Yuletide death match. So we had a barbed wire wrapped Christmas tree, and I'm like, oh God, this is ridiculous. But it was, again, it's insane. I implore anyone to go out there and have a look at it. It's out there to watch the streaming service now. GCW presents Orange Cassidy doing something, whatever. I cannot praise this match again hard enough. It was, I think this match has been the best event of the entire WrestleMania weekend I went to.
And it was one that was literally made up almost on the fly, which just goes to show the great minds that these guys and girls have for the business, that a show can get cancelled at almost the last minute and they can come up with something so amazing in the space of a few days. So much, much props to them. After that event, what was next on the WrestleMania agenda?
Well, we had to head across to a little building called Madison Square Garden for my first taste of Ring of Honor and New Japan at G1. It was insane. We got a boat across the Hudson, had a little walk up Fifth Avenue.
Wow.
That was insane. The pictures are up there on Twitter and my Facebook and everything of me just standing there staring up at the Empire State Building, because it really hits you. It really hits you how insignificant you are when you're walking through that city. It really does. And then the garden itself. Wow.
It's a mecca. It's a wrestling mecca.
It is. We had a little wander around beforehand. Nachos. Not a lot of nachos there. They sold out pretty quickly, which is unfortunate. Same with WrestleMania. But people sell out crazy. But I was also looking the whole time to see if they had any belts for sale. So I was like, I want a belt. I don't mind it being the IWGP belt. I wouldn't mind that.
You'd be lucky around. If you found one of them.
But no, they were for sale.
Really? I know that New Japan was in like talks with the company who actually owned the rights of the belt, and they wouldn't allow them to make replicas. So
they were for sale. $500.
They may have been like knockoff replicas there then, but I don't know.
But if that's the case, then I'm glad I didn't buy one, because I was like, $500 is too much for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful belt, but
oh, it's a thing of beauty. But it's, yeah, I didn't go for that one in the end. So
which one? Did you go for, Matt?
But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But I did settle in to watch. We were up in the gods a bit, but there was not a bad view. We had we had Minitrons and everything, and the pre-show, bizarrely, was a Royal Rumble. Obviously, Jonathan Gresham, who we saw, and I thought it was obviously thing of honor, obviously. So, and all these things, but then the 30th entrant, the Great Muta.
Wow,
with Great Muta. I'm like, my first ever time in America, my first time ever to New Japan, and a legend like that, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Of course, the guy who came out number one ended up winning it, which is... yeah, no, it was obviously going to happen. Yeah. It was a great match. You know what? Problem with this event, though, is it all sort of blurs together.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because there's so much going on. I remember a ladder going into the crowd during the triple threat ladder match.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I don't know if it got caught on the camera or not, but yeah, it didn't go down so well. Me and Graham stepped out for like refreshments at some point, and as we were doing, we were checking our phone for signal, of course, and that's when we found out about Bret Hart at the Hall of Fame. Because that happened at the same time, obviously.
Yeah.
So we were all, so everyone's eyes were not on the wrestling anymore. Everyone's eyes were on the phones. Yeah. And then, as we came back into the arena, of course, as I found out from Conrad Newton, the Ring of Honor feed, or New Japan feed, which whoever was showing it, didn't show the invasion that happened from Endo and Cass. So that was happening, and we didn't know what was going on properly, and I was like, really? And it turns out that, yeah. Ring of Honor arranged it, and New Japan weren't happy with it, apparently. So,
well, apparently a lot of the Ring of Honor people didn't even know about it. It was only like a select few. Yeah, watching that on Twitter, obviously, I was able to keep up with both at the same time, and it was mental, absolutely mental. It was almost like it was orchestrated.
Yeah, but it was ridiculous. And then coupled with the fact of... I know our good friend Ryan from the Blade Job, how much he doesn't like that guy he hates so much.
Cody Rhodes.
Not Cody Rhodes. Not Cody Rhodes. No, but I will get to that in a second. The guy from New Japan he hates. Jay White. Jay White.
All right, yeah.
Jay White had main evented the Garden. Cody Rhodes hasn't.
That is true.
Cody Rhodes and AEW will never main event the Garden. I don't think that will ever happen now.
I think WWE will stop all big wrestling being at the Garden from now on, I think. I think this was the one and only time that a big show will be there.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'd say... I'm actually going to give it an exclusive here, though, Mags.
Go for it.
Three matches from the end... couldn't have happened because I did this.
I don't think that was much of an exclusive because Graham has told me that you fell asleep.
Graham has told you that, has he?
He already told me, yeah. I mean, did he send me a picture? I'm sure he sent me a picture. I'll check my DMs. But I've seen a picture of you asleep on at the Ring of Honor show.
Alvis! He said he didn't know I had! Oh! only two people ever do that, your best friend or your worst enemy. And he's your best friend, definitely. Okay, so yeah, I was shattered. It got out of me. I apologise. Yeah.
I would have fell asleep way before that.
But yeah, so that was... So yeah, we had the... We got out of the Garden in the end. And then the phone sent us the wrong way. So we eventually got on the path train, which got us back to New Jersey. And then we bumped into someone at New Jersey as we're going to get the car, who Graham knows from one of the indie shows. And he was really psyched to see us all there and everything for GCW World and everything. Talk about Bryce the Free, of course, because I even bought his merch, the Bryce is always right, mm-hmm. Shirt, and he's now in AEW, of course, refereeing. So he's an absolute legend, and he's fully trained as well. He did a head to the takedown when he was being grappled by someone at AEW. It's great. So that was cool, and then we headed back to the hotel to try and rest up as best we could, ready for WrestleMania Day.
So go on, lead us into that. Lead us into your day of WrestleMania.
Well, I started with breakfast, which I knew I had a good one inside me because I didn't know what was going to happen. Because not only was we doing the Capital Wrestling show in the morning, I was also interviewing the Ugly Ducklings before we go to WrestleMania. And it all went really well. The interview went really well. They were stars. They always are. The Ugly Ducklings, they're amazing.
Yeah.
I got a sweaty hug from Coach Mikey as well, which was great. Rob and Lance are just amazing. And they asked beforehand, do I have to be PG or can we swear? I'm like, go with what, I'll quack it out if I have to.
Quack it out, brilliant.
Yeah, but it was, the star of that show, of the Capital Wrestling show, was Grandma Duck, which is Coach Mikey's actual grandma, really? Who was there with her cane. And she started laying in, I think it was a set-up part, where she actually started hitting one of the Ugly Ducklings' opponents with her cane during the match. It was great. It was such a good thing. It went back to the old days of the old lady in the front row shaking her handbags and things like that. It was like the old days. But I don't think this was a very PG show. So it was advertised as being family friendly. And there were little kids there. We're talking Jackson sort of age. And they were enjoying it and everything. But there was a death match.
Really? Wow.
For light tubes and everything. It wasn't family friendly. But more so is that during the intermission, they decided to have people come out and do a burn battle, and the jokes were not PG. And they weren't very good either. The jokes were, I'm like, that's not even funny. That's not even a joke. I actually said to Graham at the time, seriously, Mason and Jackson would do a better job. I'm saying, that's nothing against Mason and Jackson, but they would have done a much better job because they're actually funny. They actually know how to be funny. These guys were early 20s, maybe late 20s, and they were not funny.
But they probably thought they were funny.
Maybe, but I don't think they were. So anyway, we headed, after we wrapped up there, and I'd been coerced into buying $25 worth of merch for the Ducklings, we headed to back to the hotel, rest up a bit, because Graham wanted to catch a few Zeds beforehand, and I didn't, because I was messaging Chris, and I was playing my Nintendo Switch. And then off to WrestleMania we went.
Wow.
And MetLife Stadium is huge, but it's not as huge as Wembley Stadium.
Really?
Which, no. But I was dancing around outside. I was thinking, should I? Graham rolled his eyes about a dozen times. And I went up to the counter. There was no queue at the merch store at all outside. And I was like, have you got any championship belts?
And they did have.
They had one WWE championship belt left. And it's sitting up there right now looking at me. I love that thing. I really do. Of course, me and Graham were decked out in our good cop and our bad cop jerseys. I've still got mine. It's somewhere. And it was a good thing we did as well, because it was absolutely freezing. It was only April, and we're in the middle of New York State. It's cold. We were very cold as the night wore on. I'm not going to talk to you every single part of it, because WrestleMania, most people would have seen that on TV.
And it's 7 hours long.
Yeah. Watching it, we watched it in one go. I tell you what, I was tired, but I was buzzing the whole time.
Yeah.
Some standout moments you probably want there from it, obviously, is some the people behind us. Absolute legends, all of them. They were. They were happy. They asked us if we could take some pictures of them. We got some pictures of us from them. That's how we got the picture of
pointed at the side
of me and Graham at nine, which is one we know used for good cop, bad cop. It was just the buzz in general. I mean, we could see the ring fairly well. We could see the Titantron. It was like, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, the shock of seeing Curt Hawkins break his losing streak was amazing. Seth Rollins going out first, and we popped like crazy for that match. The crowd did pop for Hulk Hogan, but I tell you what, it was a pop, and then it was like, yeah, go away now, sort of thing. Yeah. It wasn't a case of he didn't overstay his welcome, which I appreciated at least. It was just little things. The Iconics winning, the crowd really popped for that. The only thing I remember about the AJ Styles Randy Orton match is everyone chanting "Turn off the lights," because they couldn't see. I even tweeted out, and it got some pretty heavy Twitter traffic. That tweet did, I tell you.
Yeah.
They turned it off and then turned back on again, and the boo. I've never heard a boo that loud before.
Really?
That was it was deafening. I tried starting a thank you China chant during the Hall of Fame. It didn't go anywhere. I really wish I had done, because she deserves all the accolades she can get, to be fair. She deserves.
I think she'll be on her own merit very soon.
Yeah, I think that was the precursor. See how people judged it.
Yeah.
And I think that's gone down perfectly well. And the demon. Seeing the demon live, that was insane. For me, it was, anyway.
Definitely for you.
Yeah. Leaning forward over the seats in front of me to actually almost it felt like I was actually standing on a turnbuckle, because I had to sling my arms up, see, because Graham had bought me a Finn Balor hoodie, which you put the hood up and everything, and you zip it up, it's got the demon's face there as well, so it's great. Yeah, and so I'm doing that, and the second time I've come back down again, I'm about to do it like that normally, and he had to throw his arms up to stop me. It was it's a word I don't use often, but it was fucking amazing. Kofi winning, yet again, the crowd were just popping for that. Becky winning, though. People were happy with it, but people were surprised how she won. And we're like, is that a botch? Is that? And that was all the people were talking about all the way back through the car popping. Did they mean to do that? Was that a botch? That was all people were talking about of her first women's main event.
It takes a little bit of the shine off, but the fact is it's happened and you were there to witness it, and it's likely that it may never happen again, or may not happen again for a long, long while.
Absolutely, but I'm very happy with how it turned out overall. I mean, it was a brutal 7 hours, because bear in mind, we got in there. We got there about 4. We were in our seats by about 5:30. Really? We were in seats by 5:30. Once we got our food and everything, it was fine. But by that point, they were already halfway through the Cruiserweight Championship match, mm-hmm. which is because it's obviously a 2-hour pre-show, obviously. But that's fine and everything. I mean, it was great. I've no complaints about that event at all. Apart from being too long, perhaps.
And maybe that's why there's rumours that next year it could be a 2-day event.
That would be too expensive.
Well, yeah, I get it. So, how did you end your WrestleMania weekend?
With a drive back to Washington, some of which has been documented on Good Cop, Bad Cop. Some of which will never see the light of day. Mainly because Graham thinks it's too personal to put it out there in places. And in fairness, there is some very personal stuff we talk about.
Yeah.
So that won't make the air. I advise you to go and listen to it if you haven't listened to it already. It's Amazon Network. Mm-hmm. It's a good listen. I'll say that, of course. I was going to say that. I edited the damn thing. But at the same time, I might release more of it at a future time, but it all depends on, well, how much Graham annoys me, really, I suppose.
I think sometimes you've got to keep a little back, because the memory's personal to you. It was your experience there, so I don't think anyone could begrudge you keeping some of those things to yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we both go into detail about how we met our partners and everything, so I don't think everyone wants to know every detail about after me my first date with Chris. So
your first date with Chris, which has actually happened since the time that you've been on the show, so we will definitely get to that. But
my first date with Chris was last November, sir.
Ah, I apologise then. I apologise. I thought it was much more recent than that.
No. We've been, as of time of recording, we have been together officially. We've officially been a couple for 7 months and 2 days.
Wow. So almost the time that you've been on the show then?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. Valentine's weekend, we became official, yes. So, yeah. And in that time, I took on Chris's show as well, so.
And we'll be getting to that very, very soon. As a British wrestling fan, how would you recommend going to WrestleMania?
Yes. That's not even a second question. A second question in my mind for that one. Or second guess. I'm trying to find the right word to use in that one. It's something that takes no hesitation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you get the opportunity to do it, if you can do it, then you should be doing it. Would I say do it regardless of the cost? No, because, you know, spend way more than they should. I mean, we took in 6 shows in 3 days, which is insane. Because we probably could have done more.
Mm-hmm. I know people who've done way, way more on that WrestleMania weekend. It was literally going every single spare minute was at a wrestling show.
Oh, it was insane, but we had to factor so much other stuff in, and we had to have time to actually rest as well, because it was insane. Of course, something else that I'd never actually mentioned while I was at the G1 is, and actually at GCW, I actually took a selfie of someone who was sitting next to a wrestler at the time, because they sat down in the crowd because they were exhausted from a battle royal. Turns out, I took the picture. She's like, "Could you send that to me later?" I'm like, "Sure, give me your Twitter." And so she told me it. I'm like, "You follow me?" She did. She follows me. Not only that, but we had a conversation a few weeks before.
Really? Wow.
Unbelievably. I was like, "You are fucking amazing." And I sent that. It was brilliant. I think I got over 10 followers out of that. It was great.
Really?
Yeah, she was amazing. I was going somewhere with this. Where was I going? Oh, yeah. The person that I met is one of my dearest friends on wrestling Twitter. Someone who has been on my show, and I believe has been on your show, well, Mr. Zachary Shiloh.
He certainly has, yeah.
Zachary Shiloh, and let me tell you, he has got the fiercest bear hug I've ever had.
I can believe it.
He's quite short as well. He's quite a short man. But my God, he's got strength in him. I've got a lot of time for Zach. He's great.
He's so passionate about wrestling, and he's such a positive guy. Yeah, I absolutely think he's brilliant.
The thing is that we were trying to meet a load of people at the same time at MSG, but we were late getting there because we were trying to find the right entrance and everything. Mm-hmm. And bearing in mind, there's like 8 different gates inside the garden. Getting the right one was nearly impossible. And the only reason, and he spotted us, because we were wearing our jerseys. So he shouts out, "Hey, Matt!" I turn around, like, double take, and I saw him, I'm like, "Ah!" Boof! Hug. You're not. But literally, that was all we had time for, because we'll catch you later on, and we never did. So, aww. I know. So now we're going to have to go again and meet him again at some point.
that's fair enough.
We've got to be up again at some point, that's for certain, because, you know, that's something I'll take away from it, is that I got to meet people for the first time.
Yeah.
That was insane. That was great. I mean, That's the most insane thing, is that you live like 6 hours away from me, Mags, and we've never met in person.
Mm-hmm. And he lives half the world away.
And Graham lives in Virginia, and I share a room with him.
It's the world of wrestling, though. It brings people together.
It is, but we actually live like wrestlers in the old days. Literally just hotel room, service kit, up again to the next event. That's what it was like, and I would not have changed a single moment of it.
I'm so glad that you had a good time. I know that in the build-up we're really, really excited, and yeah, it was just so good from the sidelines almost to have a good time, and I'm really glad it happened for you. So let's get on to content creation in the time that you've not been on the show. If I remember rightly, the gaming show with Matt and Alex was maybe about episode 2 or 3 or something like that. So what?
No, it was around 9 or 10 at that point, because we started in November. We had most of January off, so.
Okay. Well, it was still quite a young show.
Yeah.
And you've added to that list of podcasts since. What podcasts have you added to your repertoire, your Matt Attack Productions lineup?
Right. Okay. Now, before we get into this, I need to address something with you. Mm-hmm. Because when you were on the Blade Job show and you roasted me for 6 minutes, you went through all the shows that I do and you missed one. And it's probably the one I'm most proud of. But we'll come to that one in a second. Because I did an Formula One podcast, for a few times last year with a friend of mine, Zarte Siempre. Mm-hmm. And Zarte asked if maybe this year we could do it a bit more regularly. I was like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Come up with a witty title, and he came up with Interlar Gossip. Now, the reason it's called that is because, as you know, as an F1 fan yourself, Max, you know, Interlagos is a racetrack in Brazil.
Yeah.
And obviously, just combine it with gossip, could talk about it, Interlar Gossip. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, we've done that. I've done 6 episodes of that already this year at time recording. It's gone really well. I've been quite well received by people who don't really follow the network. So, there's a chance for other people to listen to shows like yourself. Mm-hmm. Through that, it's good PR for the network, I find. I've also not long started. I don't think she had issued the first episode of What You're Talking About Willis at the time. It was me and James, my brother, and he's gone on to guest spot on a few other shows. The Good Cop, Bad Cop football podcast, which is another one that Graham started and I co-host on. I'd like to point out that Graham came out of that one. Okay. But a lot of love for that man. But he does. It's a great little thing for people who don't follow football or soccer. Actually, to be fair, soccer's the right term because it's association football. So we actually coined the word soccer before America did. So technically speaking, it's
football.
I agree. We use the term football, but I'm just saying that it's not an American phrase. The British came up with soccer first. Yeah. That's the word. So, people who claim that America are butchering the language, no, we did that. So, yeah. And WrestleMania, obviously, I released my year anniversary podcast, which had, like, questions answered and this and some of the highlights, one of them being when you and Paul were on for the Elimination Chamber. It was great. And when that happened, of course, at that same weekend, I dropped Chris's pilot episode of Chris Talks Games. This the first show I had been a part of and not been behind a microphone. Now, I grant you that since then, I've made a few guest spots.
You have?
I have also, when Chris was away in Spain this past week at time of recording, I filled in for him on his show. I think I did a good job, but you got to be judging that one. Chris's knowledge of gaming is far superior to mine. Think of Chris's show as being like a technical superstar, like, I was going to say Chris Benoit, but might be a bad example. Like Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, a perfect technical masterclass by Kurt Angle in his prime. That's Chris. I'm more like Doink the Clown.
I won't disagree.
With regards to the gaming stuff, because me and Alex, we say this ourselves, we have an absolute fucking blast on our podcast. But if you want the information, if you want the series, you want the facts, if you want all that stuff, you go to Chris.
I've been absolutely loving his Music of Sonic series. What quality breakdown he does of that music. He's like I say, it's almost like he's got a photographic memory of the knowledge of these games, and he does really like to dive into the technicality of it.
He does, and I'm very proud of the work he does. And even if he does like to roast me for not getting anything done on time sometimes, but he just likes things to be done at a time. He gets a bit anxiety about that sort of stuff, which is understandable.
Yeah.
He's good at what he does. I'm very proud to be his producer. I have since taken on Conrad Newton as well as his producer. He's going to be documenting his journey for wrestling when it starts, which is something I'm looking forward to producing. It's going to be something different. I'm looking forward to people enjoying that as well. I refuse to take on too many more clients, so I've got too much going on with work at the moment.
Yeah, I like Conrad. I think that kid is absolutely amazing. For what he goes through, obviously people know that he suffers from autism, but you wouldn't know it if you didn't tell you. And I know he gets a little bit nervous sometimes about being on shows, but wow, he's really, really coming out of his shell, and I really wish him all the best and any support that he needs. I'm definitely 100% behind the guy. I think my favourite show that you do right now, I think it's what you're talking about, Willis. And the reason why is because it's just a chat. It's just two brothers having a chat. And that's the kind of like podcast I like, where it's not really a podcast, if you understand what I mean. It's just you recording your thoughts and your chats, and the way you two like bounce off each other, I just think it's a really good show.
Having the natural banter of being brothers definitely helps on that side of things. There's some stuff we've had a cut before. I deliberately leave some bits in, though, which, as you probably noted before, when we recorded Chris's work a few weeks, a few shows ago, where you can hear us moving tables to let Chris sit down. I left that in because I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, but that's the whole thing, you see. It's meant to be funny. It's meant to be funny because we don't put effort into it. If you don't force something, it will be naturally funny.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. I mean, there's nothing that's been off topic. I mean, we've used topic uses before, Megs. We went off topic like very quickly, of course. But that's the prerogative we have with our show.
Yeah.
I do thank your kind words, though. Thank you.
Not a problem. And you mentioned the Elimination Chamber show that me and Paul were on. And I totally give 100% props to you for getting me into this podcasting journey. But again, I've got to give you some more props, because it was that show that confirmed to me that I wanted to do a show with Paul. Obviously, I knew of him from the Five Nerds, and I knew we got along because we were in a couple of Twitter DM group threads and stuff like that. So we've always had this kind of like same kind of similar banter, but it was being on that show with him and that sealed the deal that I needed to be on a show with him. I mean, we already had the idea in the pipeline with me and Wilf on Brainbuster, but that was what sealed it, that Paul was the guy that I wanted to be the co-host on that show. So, again, props to you.
Thank you. Ironically, with you and Paul, when you were on for SummerSlam, that was Conrad's. Conrad came back to the show for that one. It was actually the first time he'd ever been part of a panel on a show, as he mentioned to us before we went on air. And yeah, he was nervous before that one, definitely. Mm-hmm. But it's so much easier for him now. I mean, he did Clash of Champions, and he was throwing banner off back and forth, and I'm like, this is a whole new side of Conrad. I'm loving it.
Yeah,
it's good. He's much more relaxed than he was. I mean, I became aware of him last year, and he was only 15 last year, mm-hmm. and now he's 16 now, and you wouldn't have thought it. He's got such a depth of knowledge about, he watches so much wrestling. I don't know how he has time to go to school. he's now at college, of course. I don't know how he has time for that. He watches so much. He's training as well. I'm like, kid's a machine.
Yeah, and then you get into his, like, his writing and his blogs, and they're absolutely amazing.
So much so that Chris Jericho even picked one mm-hmm. up and retweeted it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
he's made it.
Okay, I can say a lot as someone who is, I can say a lot of stuff, but I can't say that Chris Jericho has ever retweeted something I've done.
I've been retweeted by Chris Jericho, I will say that, and that was the highlight of my Twitter. That and Kurt Angle. Getting retweeted off Kurt Angle.
I can say that I've been retweeted and liked and replied to by people from like outside Xbox and things like that, who I'll be covering EGX with the Game Podcast at next month. That'll be out Mission Network at some point. But that's what I can say. YouTubers, and they're very good YouTubers, but they're not Chris Jericho.
Well, this is it.
I am a little bit envious of you, Conrad. And YouTube Mags.
So, what has the next 6 months got in store for Matt Willis?
From a podcasting perspective or in general?
Both.
Well, work like crazy, probably. And in off away from work, technically speaking, October and November is going to be a very busy couple of months for me. And not only because, as I mentioned, me and Alex are going to be... we're going there, we're going to do some hands-on gameplay and do a lot of vlogging and blogging from it. But mainly because from October 30th, I'm headed back stateside.
Wow.
Of course. Me and Chris off to Florida for 2 weeks. So I'm going to have no content going out for 2 weeks.
Wow. The sky is going to cave in.
So, you know, maybe we'll have someone guesting in my place on Good Cop and Good Cop VK.
Maybe.
But... I've asked James if he'll cover Good Cop VK for me, but I'm gonna fit in where I can bits and pieces, but I'm not gonna be able to do any podcast recording, or certainly any editing while I'm in Florida. So because I've got a weight and everything, the MacBook staying at home.
Wow,
I know. No pod.
You'll be itching to podcast.
I won't be itching to do nothing. The only thing I'm going to miss while I'm away is the fact that the American Grand Prix is happening while I'm in America. So, in Texas, not in Florida, unfortunately.
Oh,
so.
And it's absolutely bloody miles away as well.
I'll actually be closer to England than I will be to the Grand Prix still.
That's mental. Absolutely mental.
It is. Is but yeah, so that's what that's got planned for, and then when I get back, I'm hitting the ground running because it'll be middle of November by the time I'm back, and it's cracker time.
Oh, I love the crackers, absolutely love them, can't wait to get involved in them again this year.
Crackers are going to be dropping every day in December again. I've got, and that's scary when I think about it, because you think you've got October, November. I've only got half of October and half of November. So I've only got a month to get it all sorted still. And I haven't recorded anything fresh for it yet. So, but I've got plenty to delve into. So that'll be fun.
Good. Bad.
Okay, I'm Matt Willis, and this is Graham Bagshaw. Welcome, me kid.
What am I supposed to do? You just introduced me. This should be the trailer. This is it. Listen to us Fridays on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. That's it. That's going. Send it out right now.
We're out of here.
Good. Bad.
Brilliant. Well, I've absolutely loved this catch-up. I loved having a chat with you anyway, whether it's on the Skype, on the podcast, or even just in general. I think you're an absolutely brilliant guy, and I'm really glad to call you a friend. Let the Wowie Watch listeners know exactly where they can find you and find your thousands and thousands of hours of podcasting material.
I've done a little check, and I think I actually have gone past 3.5 hours of content I've recorded.
3.5 hours.
3,500.
All right, I'm going to say 3.5 hours. This one's an hour on its own.
3,500 hours of content that I have been involved with since I started podcasting 18 months ago. Not too shabby, is it, seeing as how...
It shows the passion, though, Matt. And it's all high-quality stuff, so it's not...
Bless you, thank you very much. Right, so, to find my stuff. Right, right. Bear in mind, these all have Twitter handles. That's easy to go through. Right, Matt, at the Matt Attack UK is where you can find me. You can find the Matt Attack podcast through that. Right, you can find Good Cop, Bad Cop wrestling podcast through at Good Bad Wrestle. That is also shared with at MGB Graham, who is my podcast co-host. Good Cop, Bad Cop UK at Good Cop Pop for soccer football podcast. Don't hold up four. There's only three so far.
That's four. You, Matt Attack, then Good Cop, then Good Cop, then... Oh, yeah. It might be...
Yeah, I mentioned Graham's. You make me sound worse than I am. I'm not. Right. Okay. Okay. What you're talking about, Willis, at Willis Boys Talk. That's a Z, not an S, which I share with my brother, James. At the Davioli is his Twitter handle. If you want to follow him, you should do. He's got great little sound bites about various things on TV and football. Usually slagging off Arsenal. Usually says sack Wenger. He's been sacked for 2 years. At Interlar Gossip for our F1 podcast. It's just started, that one, but I figured about time we actually had one up and running. That's for me and Zarte at Zarte FTW for his Twitter handle. James is the official statistician. Is official stat man for that, because end of the day he likes stats, does Jay, and he obviously fills in when Zarte is under weather, as proven recently. At Matt Alex Game Pod for the gaming podcast, that is a tin gaming podcast. I love doing that. Feeling a little bit thing about games, it's great. Is that all of my shows? Yes, that's all of my shows. Then you've got at ChrisLewis37 for Chris. You can talk to him about games, suggest topics, banter with him. He loves all of that. Anyone messes with him, you deal with me. Okay? Right, okay. At El Compacto Newt for Conrad, once he gets the stuff up and running, you find him through that. You can talk to him about all that sort of stuff. At Matt Attack Prod for Matt Attack Productions. That one is no banter on that at all. That is purely for business related stuff. I'm trying to be professional about stuff. trying to be, and it failing miserably because, you know, I'm Matt Willis.
And you're
over here. Damn it! I haven't read that quite yet, but thank you.
It's more than welcome. Honestly, yeah, listeners, give Matt a follow. Go and listen to his podcast. I listen to every single one of them, as the listeners of this show no doubt know. I'm a podcast addict, and I get the joy of listening to Matt's voice at 3 times the speed, which is brilliant, especially when he does a bit of Matt karaoke.
Yeah.
And the giggle. The giggle at three times the speed is a, it's brilliant. No, yeah, definitely go and check his stuff out. You can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirtner. You can follow the show at Where We Watch Pod. Where We Watch Pod. Thanks again, Matt, for coming on. I really do appreciate it. I absolutely love talking to you, and thanks for being a guinea pig once again.
It's been an absolute pleasure as always, Mags, one for two. And if I may be permitted to actually say my own catchphrase for once, I am out of here.
Listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.